of our worship too, as we sacrifice unto the Lord. Amen? Amen. We're so glad you're here.
Good morning. Okay, now you can hear me. Good morning. We have plenty of seats. No waiting. Okay, we'll continue worship with our tithes and offerings. I'm going to share with you two verses that you've heard many, many times. It comes from 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 and 7. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves the cheerful giver. Now I'm going to share a little testimony. Okay, when I came here, I was kind of like Tommy. I lost a lot of stuff. Came here, walking by one day, he said, oh, they're giving away food. I needed food. So I came in. And then I met this very lovely lady named Nettie Lopez, who should be here somewhere. And she said, come on in, I got a special job for you. And she put me to work as soon as I came here the first day. She had me and my brother Angelo pulling up weed back there in the alley. And then she gave us a big old steak. Well, we were happy. We had a steak in a long time. So I was very happy and very blessed. And then my parents, I got to share some testimony. I grew up, my dad was a great provider. He had a good job. We always had a lot. We always had more than what we needed. He always shared with everyone, the neighbors. He shared with the church. He was a Catholic, but he gave a lot of his money to the church. And the neighbors always come to him because they needed something. They knew my dad was going to be a good guy and just give them whatever they needed. And we had that same privilege with our Father in heaven. You need something, you ask him. He's going to give it to you. In fact, I had the ushers up. Go pray for the tithes and offerings. Heavenly Father, we come before you. Thank you, Lord, because you are our Father. We shout out to you, Abba Father. And Lord, whatever we need, you give us if we ask for it in Jesus' name. And the church said,
Hey, Danny, you want to give me light three, please? All righty. I've lost my Bible. I'm sorry.
All right, look for Pastor's Bible.
All right, I have a bounty on my Bible. If somebody could find that for me, I had it. And then I you know, it's in Natty's room. That's where it's at. What? Yes. All right, let me tell you what we got going on. This week we have Ladies Bible Study. 9:30, it is the second Bible study. You can get in, but probably after this week, it's going to be closed off. Is that right, Gail?
Well, if people
can always come. Okay, the way is open. Hallelujah, you get lunch, ma'am. All righty, let me tell you what else we got. We have men's breakfast and work day this Saturday. And all the men said... Amen, especially my wife. It is a Bible study on loving God and loving others, and so we are going to love others this Saturday. The men are going to be involved in cutting apart some pallets so that we're going to decorate the back of the church to look like that. Reclaimed wood, free wood, labor wood, all kinds of things about that, trendy wood. There's a vision. Notice Mike painted the church back there, the back walls of the church. So it is in preparation for the transformation, which we're going to shoot for having all this done by Easter. And so all we're going to do this week, gentlemen, is to cut the pallets apart, prep the wood, and then we're going to let it dry, and we'll stain it and do some more stuff down the road. Now, several of the ladies have been saying, can we help? We got stain, we got all kinds of work that's coming, and so that is what we got going on. And with that, I'm going to let the children go to their classes. Youth are up today, and if you would start that stream for me, we got all kinds of good technical stuff going on back there. Thank you, Danny. You are doing good things. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Genesis. Book of Genesis, chapter 15. Genesis, or turn in your phone, or turn in your device. If somebody needs notes, anybody needs notes, Dave will serve you. Put your hand up. We got abbreviated notes. We got big notes. And Dan, did you hit number one on that remote as well, please? Thank you, ma'am. All righty, here we go. Genesis 15, talking about the curse. Hope none of you are cursed this morning, that you are moving away. If you need notes, put your hand up. Dave has them for you. He can serve you. Bible reads from chapter 15 of Genesis, verse 12. As the sun was setting, this is God's call to Abraham, God's covenant with Abraham. He called Abraham out of Ur, the Chaldeans, in chapter 12 of Genesis. Here we see he has indeed arrived in the promised land, and this is a furthering of God's covenant with Abram. And he says, as the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated 400 years. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your fathers in peace and be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. When the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking fire pot with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. This is the pieces of the sacrifice that Abram made to the Lord. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, to your descendants, I give this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates. the land of the Kenites, Kenizzites, Kadmonites, Hittites, Perizzites, Rephaites, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, and Jebusites. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you call us out of a far land. Lord, that you call us to come near, Lord, that we can indeed draw near to you and we can be transformed in our lives. Lord, we thank you for hope, Lord. You tell us that you indeed are coming back, that you prepare a place for us, Lord. And we, as you prepare a place for us, we prepare our hearts, Lord, to dwell with you for eternity. Lord, I pray this morning. Lord, I pray for us this morning, Lord, for those who are still dwelling in slavery. Lord, we pray for those dwelling in the wilderness, Lord. Lord, we pray for those that have just stepped on the very edge of the kingdom, Lord. Satisfied with that first step, Lord, I pray for many steps, Lord. I pray the ability to climb. We can draw near to you and we give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said? Well, I went skiing last Monday, and it is an El Nino. Everybody know what El Nino is? That means lots of rain. And when there's lots of rain, there's lots of snow. Can I get a witness on that? They say up there, Big Bear and in the Sierra Nevadas, it is the best snow in 10 years. In fact, I looked it up last night. My wife mentioned to me that there is 37 feet of snow at Mammoth Mountain. Most snow in North America is at Mammoth Mountain. I went skiing. I did not go skiing at Mammoth Mountain last week. I went to Snow Valley, which is like a budget snow place. It's down the mountain just about 5 miles from Big Bear. And snow was great. And had to put chains on the way up. The cars were coming back. Had about that much snow on the top of the car as they were coming back. And had to chain up. Got up there and took the main chair to the top of the mountain. And you get to the top and you get off and you see that there's another section of the mountain up there. And I see guys skiing down that. And I only started skiing again last year after about 20 years. And so I go up there and I see these guys that are skiing down the top. I'm like, what is that? And the top of the mountain has not been open in 3 years because there's not been enough snow. And so I'm talking to these guys. There's six guys on the chair and you're riding them. What's up with the top? What's up with the top? Oh, yeah, it's diamond and double diamond runs, advanced expert runs and all that kind of stuff. Lines to the lifts, or there's like no line. It's just great up there. But it's a bit of a hike. Because what you have to do is you have to get off the main chair and you ski back, and it's like flat, and then it kind of goes uphill. Got to use your poles and got to skate, you know, kind of. You even take your skis off and just walk. But if you don't make the climb, you don't get to the top of the mountain. We're going to talk today about making the climb. We're in a series called Conquering the Curse. We took a look at Genesis chapter 3 last week. Adam and Eve messed stuff up for us. Can I get a witness on that? They ate the fruit they weren't supposed to eat. They rebelled against God. And what they realistically did is they thought they could do better than God. And Satan came into the garden and he said, Adam, Eve, you can do better than this. You can do better than God. And I'll tell you that the devil still is whispering that same lie. Amen? That many of us have come from buying that lie, come out of lives of the curse. And so that is why we are taking a look at defeating the curse, conquering the curse, because you can choose to live in the curse. You can live your life, and we all started our lives in the curse, but Jesus gives us a choice to make a change. Amen? We're going to continue talking about that this week and next week. Adam and Eve, because of their choice, were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, and their descendants moved east. and further east to the plain of Shinar, where we see Babylon is eventually raised up. We see them living in Ur of the Chaldeans, and God in Genesis chapter 12 calls Abram out of Ur of the Chaldeans, and he says, go to a land I'm going to give to you, and I'm going to make you into a great nation. And what we read today is that Abraham responded to that call, and he makes it to that land, and we see the advancement of that covenant, and he says, I'm going to make you into a great nation, but they're going to be slaves for 400 years. We see that, indeed, we're going to spend our time in Exodus today, that the people of God, as they leave Egypt, are freed from slavery as God does miraculous things. The 10 plagues and the crossing of the Red Sea, that he does incredible things for his people who were slaves. And they were the children of slaves who were also the children of slaves. In fact, all they had ever known was slavery. And so many of us, we come and we know slavery. God leads them out of slavery into the wilderness, into the desert. And as they are moving around the desert, the people are going, the desert's not so much different than slavery. And it all feels like the curse. And so today we're going to be talking about the mountain of God. And then if you're going to conquer the curse, you've got to climb the mountain. Amen? Take a look at making that climb today. We're going to spend our time in Exodus. Almost, we're going to spend a little bit of time in Hebrews. Exodus chapter 19, Exodus chapter 24, and Exodus chapter 32. And interspersed with these chapters we're going to take a look at is Moses reading the law to God's people. And them saying, we like it. We're going to do whatever God wants us to do. I hope you have that in your heart today. We're going to do whatever God asks us to do. Can I get it? Does that sound like a good idea? I'm telling you, it's a good idea. All right. God brings Israel to the mountain. We're going to start reading chapter 19, verses 1 to 6. On the first day of the third month after the Israelites left Egypt. First day, third month, we're talking 60 days. On that very day, they came to the desert of Sinai. After they set out from Rephidim, they entered the desert of Sinai, and Israel camped there in the desert in front of the mountain. We're talking about Mount Sinai. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, this is what you are to say to the descendants of Jacob and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me somewhat. No? If you obey me on Sunday morning. If you obey me when you feel like it. There's a lot of people who think that's enough. Sunday mornings I'm going to obey the Lord when I feel like it. There's a ball game on. I don't know. Want to sleep in? Don't know. My son was sleeping in today. Thank you, Josh, for pouring water on him. Thank you, son, for playing the bass for us. No, he says, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then if you got a paper Bible, you can circle that. I don't know what you do with a digital Bible, but you could highlight that then. There's an if-then clause there. If you're a programmer, if and then statements are a big deal. If you obey me fully, then you will become my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me. And it's really y'all. I mean, you can miss that in English. In Spanish, it would be ustedes. Is that right? Yes. See? Ooh, I like that. Wow. See, and you can't miss it in Spanish. You can miss it in English. That's why I say y'all. because it's the whole nation. Y'all will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. See, and Israel gets an opportunity for more. They had been set free from slavery. God had begun to pour out manna for them every day. He was leading them by fire and by that night and cloud during the day. And he says, I got more for you. And if you are here this morning and you have received the message of Christ, that this message goes out as well, that there is more for you that is available. Don't be satisfied with what you have. Can I get a witness on that part? Israelites have been living in the power and the protection of God. And he says, I brought you here. It's not like you got here on your own. I have carried you on eagle's wings. God brings them to Mount Sinai. And he gives them the opportunity to climb. Because you're going to crush the curse. You're going to have to climb the mountain. Amen? God points out three things that are going to happen as you climb that mountain. Number one, you are going to become his treasured possession. That they would become incredibly valuable to God. That sounds good, doesn't it? We just had Valentine's Day, and we give nice cards. I got my wife some flowers, and she said, oh, you don't have to get me anything. And I'm thinking, she didn't get me anything. But I gave her the flowers, and she goes, oh, I got you a card, and I got you some mixed nuts, because I like mixed nuts. And that card said, oh, you're so valuable to me. And Valentine's Day, we get cards, you're so valuable to me. And we're like, oh, God, I'm so glad I'm so valuable to you. It feels good. And the second thing that happens as we're climbing, as we are obeying partially the thing, as we are obeying fully the things of God, that we become a nation, a kingdom of priests. Some people say, can't we just stop at the God loves me part? God loves me, Jesus loves me, this I know. Because the Bible tells me right here, right? I don't know about that priest part. Because you know what priests do? Their job of priests is to bring sacrifices to God. And in fact, Paul writes to the church in Rome that the sacrifice that we are to bring to the Lord is us. And people start thinking that, I don't know how high I want to climb. And he says that as you climb and as you're obedient, that you are going to become for me a holy nation. That means separate from everything else that's going on around. That there's all kinds of stuff that's going on the edge of that mountain. Amen? All kinds of stuff going on the edge of the kingdom. But the higher you get, the further you get in, the more separated you're going to be from all that stuff. And the devil be saying, you can do better than God. And God goes, you can do better than God. Because why? You're so far away from the edge. Three things going to happen as Israel climbs up that mountain. See, everything changes when you get on the mountain. It's a place of obedience and a place of commitment. Problem in the church today. Not so many people interested in climbing. If you're going to move beyond a superficial relationship with God, it'll require a little bit of effort on your part. All right, Lori, you get lunch. If you want to grow close to God, move beyond a superficial relationship with God, it's going to require some effort on your part. Well, thank you. I'll get the rest of you guys lunch, too. All right, here we go. Reading on, continuing on, verse 7, right here. So Moses went back and summoned the elders of the people and set before them all the words the Lord had commanded him to speak. And the people all responded together, "We will do everything the Lord has said." Let's do that. We will do everything the Lord has said. Let's try that again. We will do everything the Lord has said. Ooh, that feels good. So Moses brought their answer back to the Lord, and the Lord said to Moses, "I'm going to come to you in a dense cloud so that the people will hear me speaking with you and will always put their trust in you." Then Moses told the people, what the people had said, and the Lord said to Moses, "Go to the people and consecrate them." Everybody say consecrate. "Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, have them wash their clothes and be ready by the third day. Because on that day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people." See, God's coming to the mountaintop. And he tells Moses, "Because I'm going to make a visit, I want you to consecrate these people." Now, consecrate might not be a word that you've even used this morning. I have, because I preached this message already. Consecrate means to make holy, to prepare, to purify, to set apart, and to wholly dedicate. That's what God tells the people of Israel that they need to do, because he's going to show up on that mountaintop. Guess what Jesus says? Jesus says, "Two or three gathered together, I'm right there with you." And so we need to be preparing ourselves to step into the presence of God. Can I get a witness on that? Because there's a lot of stuff that goes on. Moses stood before the burning bush. And God said to him, "Take your feet off. Take your shoes off." That would be, well, "Take your shoes off because you are standing on holy ground." The Bible also says, "Wherever the Lord is holy." Amen? We can kind of lose that today. I can just come in the presence of the Lord, got my flip-flops, got my coffee. But they got nothing going on. God's fine with that. God's my buddy. God died for you. But he's your Lord and Savior. Now, to try to convey this to the people of Israel, he says, "I'm going to come down in a dense cloud." Now, this is different than the puffy cloud, I'll say, that he was leading them by day that was there to give them shade. He's coming down in a dense cloud, a dark cloud with fire, with thunder, with lightning, and with a trumpet blast. And the trumpet blast was a signal, an invitation for the people on the third day to start climbing that mountain. And the cloud comes down, and the fire is there, and the lightning is there, and the thunder is there, and the trumpet sounds, and not one person climbs that mountain. My, oh my. God calls Moses to the top. See, Hebrews chapter 13, we're going to read a little bit later, said Moses was trembling in fear at the bottom, on the edge of the mountain. God calls Moses, "Come on up." He says, "Bring Joshua with you. And I want to catch you this visual. There's 3 million people on the edge of the mountain and two people that have climbed to the top. And this is an answer to prophecy because God said, Exodus chapter 3, verse 12, this is going to be a sign to you that I am who I am, that when I set you free from slavery in Egypt, y'all are going to worship me on this mountain. And only two made the climb. Hardly a nation of priests. Amen? All right, Natty, we got a microphone issue up here. I need you to pay attention to me. Danny. Glory, this is Tommy's mic. Come on up here, George. Talk about making the climb. Talk about putting forth some effort. So you can be on the screen. I want you to, there we go. George Viorini, kind of spoiled a little bit of my sermon with his offering this morning. Talk about the humble nature of your approach to this church. That you and your brother were in a nearly homeless state. But since you've come in 6 years, I want to say?
Almost seven years.
He is a graduate of the Urban Bible Ministry Institute that meets downstairs. A little round of applause.
20 seconds.
That take a little bit of work?
A little bit.
A little bit of effort?
A lot of effort.
Amen. And how long did you do that?
4 years.
4 years. They say you can do it in two.
I couldn't do it in two. Better than before.
Okay.
I was always a C student. I'm still a C student.
Now, we're talking about the effort in the climb. George also is on his fifth time through the Bible, reading through the daily reading log that we have copies back there. Each day of the week, unless you got a doctor's appointment or something going on, he is right here at 9 o'clock with Lisa and Tommy leading our prayer ministry. And if you're going to defeat the curse, you're going to have to climb the mountain. If you're going to climb that mountain, it's going to take some effort. When you came here, you had no food, and you had a pretty horrendous living situation.
Yeah, and a pretty lousy bank account, too.
How have things changed? How is life now?
Life is wonderful now. I've got a whole new outlook on life because Jesus is in my heart, and I don't even need money.
How much food you got in your fridge?
Oh, it's overflowing.
Overflowing, right?
Still, thanks to City Heights Assembly.
You got an apartment, right?
Yeah.
You got a place, all that
Absolutely.
Kind of stuff? You had to get two sets of furniture because of bed bugs, right?
Yeah.
And so you're on your third set of furniture, and God's made provision for you, right?
Yes, and he killed the bugs.
Hallelujah.
Praise God for that. It said it can't be done. It can't be done.
I share this with you because I want you to know what a blessing the climb can be. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Thank you, George. All right. Praise the Lord. All right, let's continue on. Now we are going to jump ahead to Exodus chapter 24. If you got a paper Bible, you can see this because Moses has been reading from the law and sharing the book of the law with the people. And they're saying everything that God wants us to do, that's what we're going to do. But they are on the edge of the mountain. We're going to take a look at what's going on in chapter 24. The Lord said to Moses, come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, which are Aaron's sons, and 70 of the elders of Israel. You are to worship y'all, or to worship at a distance, but Moses alone is to approach the Lord. The others must not come near. And the people, so we got Aaron, his sons, and the 70 elders going up the mountain with Moses, but the people may not come up with him. When Moses went and told the people all the Lord's words and the laws, they responded with one voice, everything the Lord has said, we're going to do. Moses then wrote down everything the Lord had said. He got up early the next morning, built an altar at the foot of the mountain, set up 12 stone pillars representing the 12 tribes of Israel. There's 12 tribes, that was everybody. And then he sent young Israelite men, and they offered burnt offerings and sacrificed young bulls as fellowship offerings to the Lord. So the people say, we're going to do everything the Lord asks, but they cannot come close. And you say, well, that hardly seems fair. But the issue is that the people have failed the test. The test of God. Go back to Exodus chapter 20, verse 20. Moses said to the people, don't be afraid. God has come to test you. This is in the dark cloud with fire and lightning and thunder and the trumpet blast. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will keep. So the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. The problem was that the fear of God had kept them from the Lord. They failed the test. Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and 70 of the elders climb to the top of the mountain with Moses. The people got to stay on the edge. They had made a superficial ascent. We're going to do everything God asked, but when he asked them to climb, nobody was willing to climb. They stayed on the edge. Life's not good on the edge. Can I get a witness on that, George? Life's good when you climb. They had failed to respond to the trumpet blast. And now the way was closed. Problem in the church is everybody thinks the way is always going to be open. And then I'll start walking, I'll start climbing later. Moses built an altar at the foot of the mountain. Problem with the church today, nobody willing to climb. We got too many services going on the edge. Because nobody's willing to climb to the top. Problem with the church today. Too many services going on the edge. Because nobody's willing to climb to the top. Can I get an amen on that, somebody? Amen. Jeffrey, there's a class for you downstairs if you would like to go. I know I'm talking about Exodus today. You might like it. Just letting you know, buddy. Just letting you know. All right, let's keep going. Verses 8 through 11. I jumped a couple of verses here. Talks about the sacrifices that are being made by these young men. Moses then took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, this is the blood of the covenant. Have you heard that before? This is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words. Moses, Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel went up and saw the Lord of Israel. Under his feet was something like pavement made of lapis lazuli, a bright blue stone as bright as the sky. You can buy lapis necklaces and stuff today. But God did not raise his hand against these leaders of the Israelites. They saw God. They ate. And they drank. God's covenant is in blood. That's how God works. Now notice we got 74 people. We got 70 elders. We got Aaron, Abihu, Nadab, and Moses. 74 people on the top of the mountain. Now that's a whole lot better than two. Can I get a witness on that? But we still got 3 million. I guess we could say 3 million minus 72. Because we had two up there already. But I think we'll just call it 3 million. Hardly a nation of priests. Amen? God allows Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu and the elders to see him. Now, they had brought with them some of the fellowship offerings that they had made at the foot of the mountain, at the edge of the mountain. And what you would do is you would sacrifice, and we talked about this on Wednesday night, you would make these sacrifices to the Lord, you give a portion to the priest, You would burn up some to the Lord, and the majority on these fellowship offerings you would keep. And so there was a festival going down on the going on the edge, but there was a festival going on the top as well. And Nadab, Abihu, Aaron, Moses, and these 70 elders, they had seen God. Now notice, they didn't describe God. They described the pavement under his feet. Why do you think that is? Because they were on their faces going, I'm afraid to look up. Dark cloud, dense cloud. They're going, do you see what's under his feet? They were on their faces. The fear of God being implemented amongst them. They eat and they drink to celebrate their covenant with God. That's what happens on the mountaintop. It's way different than what happens on the edge. And we got so many Christians today that live on the edge of the kingdom, that live on the edge of the mountain. They never experience the thrill of the mountaintop. Living right close to the curse. If you're going to conquer the curse, you got to climb the mountain. Amen? Yesterday, JJ's team, I wake him up in the morning, and I call him Superstar. And he awakens immediately. Says, me? Calling me? But we drove up, Lisa and Gail and I, to Escondido, where they played the quarterfinal game and won in overtime. There is a semifinal game on Tuesday night in Claremont High. I think at Teresa's High School, yeah. She'll give you directions. And so you guys are all invited. It costs $10. But we're driving to Escondido, and I don't know, it takes 40 minutes, 45 minutes. And Lisa and Gail are kind of talking across me as I was driving. And Gail begins to share I can't bring any food in here, but Gail begins to share about the incredible miracles of her daughter's trip to Africa, her missions trip to Africa, and just starts a myriad of things, and she's never done anything like that before, right, Gail? And so then we just start sharing about the miracles of God, talking about the construction of the church, and the various people that had come, and the timing of God, and the provision of God, and all these things. And it was cool, wasn't it, Gail? It's so cool because what we were doing was we were sharing stories of the climb. Because it is a great thing to step out of the world and onto the edge of the kingdom. But until you start climbing, you really don't experience the presence of God and the provision of God. And the sacrifices that you bring, God is right there. And he says, oh, that's a pleasing aroma to me. And one day when he comes back, when you're climbing, he's going to get that well done, good and faithful servant. I got Aaron Bugs here with his amen. I was going to use Aaron this morning right here in this spot because I talked to him on Tuesday after he preached on Sunday. And I said, how did it go? And he goes, I'm still feeling it. Because when you're climbing, you experience the presence of God. Amen, Aaron? And the anointing of God, and you become used to it. You crave it, and you just want to keep on going. Amen? You're going to conquer the curse. You got to climb the mountain. Amen? All right. Nothing good happens on the edge. We're going to talk about Exodus chapter 32 right now. When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around and said to Aaron, come and make us gods, little g, who will go before us. As for this Moses, who miraculously brought us out of Egypt, we don't know where this guy is. Doesn't say miraculously. But it was miraculous. Power of God flowing through Moses. He was experiencing the power and the presence and provision of God. Amen? People said, we don't know. And Moses is on the mountaintop. 40 days and 40 nights. He's having church. He's in the presence of God. He's not even sweating it. Can I get a witness on that? People are saying, we're done. We don't know what's happened to him. And Aaron says, priest Aaron, brother of Aaron, a brother of Moses, take off the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing. You know where they got them? They got them from the Egyptians. God had made the Egyptians favorable to the Hebrews, and they plundered them as they left. So the things that God gave them, he said, you give me that stuff, I'll make you a calf. Fashioned it with a tool. Then they said, these are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf for sacrifice. Now, tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord. So the next day the people rose early, sacrificed burnt offerings, and presented fellowship offerings. Afterward, they sat down to eat and got up to indulge in revelry. Moses spends 40 days on the mountaintop. People on the edge, tired of waiting on Moses, tired of waiting on God. Devil saying, you can do better. You can do better than God. Make us gods who will go before us. We need to get moving. And I want you to see the contrast to what's going on the mountaintop and what's going on the edge. Because God's on the top and sin is on the edge. People have said, we're gonna do whatever God asks us to do. And Moses had read to them from the law. He had read the second commandment, thou shalt not make any graven images. Don't make any idols. They went ahead and did that anyway. Israel stuck on the edge of the mountain. Israel doing her own thing. So Aaron makes him an idol. Aaron, who had been to the mountaintop. Aaron, who had seen God. Aaron, who had been with Moses from the beginning, held his staff, wielded the power of God. If anybody should have closed this down, it should have been Aaron. And he sees the calf. And it doesn't come through in the English, but there's some fear that's going on with him. And he tries to backpedal a little bit, and he makes an altar, and he says, tomorrow we're going to have a festival to Jehovah, to Yahweh. You see, it's all caps in your Bible. And he's trying to backpedal it, but the people are too far gone because they're on the edge. And they get up early in the morning and they make their sacrifices to the calf and fellowship offerings. And they take that meat and they cook it up and they indulge in revelry. You think, revelry? Wow, what is that? Revelry, you know. But that's a Hebrew word. And it means drunkenness, immorality, and fornication. If you don't know what that is, you can look it up later. You're going to conquer the curse. is not going to happen on the edge. Can I get a witness? You play on the edge, you're too close to the curse. Devil will be whispering in your ear, you can do better than this. God's at the top. Well, God's everywhere. But God's in the climb. Amen? Last thing I got for you, we're going to jump to the New Testament book of Hebrews. You know, I got Hebrews 12 there. Natty, you better be careful because I do believe it's Hebrews 13. Somebody can check that for me. But I'm pretty sure it's 13. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking with words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I'm trembling with fear. But you, y'all, we all, have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. We have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See, Jesus gives us an invitation to Mount Zion. And Mount Zion stands in contrast to Mount Sinai. The blood of Jesus is sprinkled rather than the blood of goats and bulls. And it is the blood of Jesus that opens our way to climb. People on the edge, distracted right now. Devil calling out, don't pay attention to this. You don't need this. See, because Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to pick up your cross every other day, maybe once a week. When you come to church, try to come to church once, twice a month. If it doesn't cut into your schedule, and when you do, make sure you wear a cross on your necklace. Some people think that's good enough. Got me on the edge. No, but Jesus says, you're going to follow me, you got to pick up your cross daily, every day. And it's a cross that you're going to put on your shoulder. And you'll get a callus. And you'll get some splinters. Jesus says, you're going to follow me, you got to climb. Because you're going to experience me on the climb. Bible says that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Wendy, can you help me back there, please? Devil right here, just trying to make a distraction. Distracting me. See, you climb every day. And the Bible says that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. We are more than conquerors as we climb. So you're going to conquer the curse. You got to climb the mountain. Amen? At least you can come up. Making the climb. Jesus' sacrifice opens the way. The blood of the new covenant. I almost had communion this morning. took a cup and says, in this cup is the blood of the new covenant. My blood, new covenant, new contract, a new deal that God makes with you and includes the forgiveness of sin. You still got to pick up the cross. You still got to climb. Problem this morning. Church is filled with people who don't want to climb. People step off the edge of the wilderness. People step out of slavery. And they get on the edge of the kingdom, and it's like they're waiting for a chairlift. Hey, somebody come and pick me up. Ain't no chairlift in heaven. You're going to make it to the mountain, top of Mount Zion. The city of God, the holy city, shining, radiant. No need for sun, no need for a moon, because the glory of God is going to light the streets of Jerusalem. It's on Mount Zion. You're going to get there. You got to climb. And the climb is good times. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you are good, mighty, and awesome, Lord. I thank you for deliverance, Lord. Deliverance, Lord, from slavery. Lord, I thank you that you take us through the wilderness, through the desert, Lord. That you take us to the foot of Mount Zion, to the edge of Mount Zion, and you call us up. Climb on up. It's steep, but it's good. Lord, this morning we celebrate you, your provision, your fullness. Lord, I know we got a lot of people that are sick. The flu is going around. Pray your healing touch. But, Lord, we're praying. Power to climb. Lord, we're not going to be satisfied living on the edge, living in the curse, living close to the devil, saying you can do better. This is as good as it gets. You're here this morning. You're here this morning. You're here this morning and you're a slave to sin. Saying, Lord, 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 I'm a son of a slave who was a son of a slave. Lord, set me free. You're a slave to sin this morning. You need to be set free. Lord is here this morning. You say, reach out your hand. I'll take you to the mountain. That's you this morning. Slide your hand up. Say, Lord, I got to be set free this morning. You're here this morning. Say, God, set me free. Hallelujah. Right here. Somebody else say, that's me this morning. Lord, I'm a slave and I want to be set free. Right over here. Hallelujah. Somebody else say, that's me. That's me. I'm a slave to sin. I need to have the chains broken. Anybody else here? That's you. That's you. That's you. Maybe you're here. We got an epidemic in the church, people living on the edge. People ask Jesus to set them free from being slaves to sin. To take one step into the kingdom, one step on to the edge of the mountain. And we make an altar, and that's where we stay. We offer our worship at the edge. But the Lord says, come on up. Come on up. We got a lot of people that are climbing this morning. I celebrate with you the climb this morning. Lord, I lift those up that are on the edge, thinking this was all there was. You're here this morning. The Lord's just been speaking to your heart, says you're on the edge. Time to start climbing. I'm everywhere, but I'm at the top. Time to climb. That's you this morning. Say, Lord, I'm hearing you. I'm done living on the edge. Lord, I'm going to start climbing. I'm gonna start climbing right now. That's you this morning. Just slide your hand up. Say, I'm gonna take some climb lessons. I need to move on up. I need to get some altitude. You're here this morning. Say, I want to start climbing. Amen. Right there. I got one climber. Moses only had two. How are you? I got two. I'm going to climb. I'm going to be where I'm at. I'm going to climb. Anybody else says, I'm going to climb? Anybody else? That's me. Right here. Hallelujah. Right here. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Climbing. Going to climb. Right there. Hallelujah. More climbers. I'm going to bring some climbing gear next week. Right here. Hallelujah. More climbing. Hallelujah. Stepping on the edge, climbing to the top, Lord, would come to you this morning and say, Lord, we're going to do whatever you ask, whatever you say. Show us, Lord. Show us how to climb. Lord, I thank you for those that are climbing, those that experience you, Lord, that we can share stories. Stories of the ascent, hallelujah, climbing to the mountaintop. And always seeing that there's more to go and there's a hike to get there. But, Lord, we're looking to get to the top. We're going to climb. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. The worship team's going to come. You want to talk to the Lord about climbing? I invite you to come right up here. And he'll let you know what he's got in store for you. Amen? Amen? Amen. Hallelujah.